and capitalism developed, a barter economy emerged. A system of an exchange of promissory notes for foreign currency began. 48 types of gold coins used in Europe in the 16th century were all exchangeable. Thus, financial innovation was propelled by the power of gold. In the early 19th century, gold faced a new era. Money was dependent upon the value of gold. A system of gold and money exchange emerged. Since then, history repeatedly introduced and discarded the gold standard. In 1819, England pegged the value of pounds to gold and circulated paper money that could be exchanged for gold at any time. By 1870, most countries had adopted the gold standard, and the pound, which could be exchanged for gold, became the key currency around the world.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on RIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be looking at an interesting question, and that question is related to a topic that we have been covering in a couple of sessions now, and that is the topic of backbiting. Backbiting, as you know, is one of the grave sins. It has been prohibited in the Quran and the Hadith. By way of example, in one place in the Holy Quran, we read the following: "And do not backbite about one another. Will any of you love to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it. And be wary of Allah. Indeed, Allah is all clement, all merciful." So backbiting is definitely one of the sins that, you know, God has, and one of the actions that God has prohibited. And in fact, it is one of the grave sins. In one hadith from the Holy Prophet, it has even been mentioned that backbiting is worse than adultery. The Prophet said, "Backbiting is worse than adultery," at which he was asked, "How so?" He replied, "A man commits adultery, then repents, and Allah pardons him for it, whereas the backbiter is not forgiven until his victim forgives him." The question that we want to ask today about backbiting is the relation between backbiting and faith and religion. So we want to ask whether a person can preserve his faith while he is backbiting his fellow Muslim brother or not. In response to this question, we can say that according to the Hadith, there is a close connection between backbiting and faith, and the person who backbites, slowly and gradually, his faith begins to, wear away. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Backbiting eats away at a Muslim's faith faster than a gangrenous sore eats away to the inside." And he also said, "Whoever backbites a fellow man or woman, Allah neither accepts his prayer nor his fasting for 40 days and nights until and unless the victim of his backbiting forgives him." So it's necessary for us to be careful and try to avoid this grave sin. In some of our previous sessions, we talked about the meaning of backbiting, and there we said that backbiting is when we speak behind the back of our you know, a believer in faith, in a way that he would not like, and which he would be upset with if he were to find out about it. In one hadith of the Holy Prophet, it's been mentioned that on the day of resurrection, a man will be brought forth to stand before Allah, and his book of deeds will be presented to him, and he will not see any of his good deeds therein, upon which he will exclaim, "My God, this is not my book, for verily I do not see any of my acts of obedience therein." So he will be told, "Verily, your Lord neither loses nor forgets deeds, but your deeds have gone because of your backbiting people." Then another man will be brought forth, and he will be presented his book of deeds, and he will see many acts of obedience recorded therein. And he will exclaim, "My God, this is not my book, for verily I did not perform all these acts of obedience." And he will be told, "It is because so-and-so backbit you, so his deeds have been transferred to you." Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at backbiting and its effects on faith in the light of the Quran and the Hadith. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English Radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I think it's this overall lesson of determination that I want to spend a little bit of time talking about today. In Arabic, the word determination and resolve means azam. What are these qualities that we need for to gain that determination? Like I said, it's the same qualities that someone has when they chase material goals. And there are five things I just want to briefly touch upon. And maybe in the future we can go into deeper analysis of each one of these, because each one requires it. So the first one is that the goals and objectives must be clearly defined. We must have goals. And this is where majority of the people lack determination, because they don't have goals, right? They're happy earning a paycheck. They're happy paying mortgage. They're happy doing these things. But there's no real goal of what they want to do in life, right? And because of that, you find that majority of the people therefore lack determination. For us to have determination, number one, we have to have defined goals. Right? And for us, that task has been done by God. God has defined our goals for us, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, that all of mankind is at loss, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except for those who believe and work based on that belief. right? So they prepare, they work for that akhirah. So my belief in God and my work for akhirah is my goal, right? That's my goal. And most of us, a lot of people, not us, a lot of people just run from that. They don't realize that the goal has been defined. Ma'am, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. The goal is defined by God, right? Let's just go after it. Be determined after it. Now, in that determination or in that seeking the goal, there are two things which are really important. Number one, that to reach a large goal, it requires small and incremental steps to get to there. You can't jump steps. Yeah, you can't. There's no magic pill, right? So you can't just be like, okay, I know this is required, but I'm going to get there without doing this and this. It's not possible, right? Again, to come back to athletics, if I know that I have to be successful, I'm going to need a jump shot. You can't skip jump shot day, yeah? You have to take the 1,000 jump shots a day. You know what I mean? And this is what separates real determined people, athletes, from those who don't. They will skip a day or two. Real determined athletes won't. If you and I know that these steps are required, then you and I would never skip any steps, right? Wajib, necessary. I don't skip it. Haram, avoid it. I don't ever mess with it. Mustahab, recommended. God loves it. I do it, right? And so I don't skip steps in trying to reach that ultimate goal. And so that's number one, right? Like a part of that goal is that I take baby steps in getting there. And it's that patience of having to take those baby steps is where a lot of people lose their focus, right? If you have to do these things, this is why most people aren't successful in diets, right? Like it's so tedious to be on a diet that you have to like calculate calories and this, and they can't have it's too much work. Enjoy life, you know what I mean? And so it's that tedious work that people who don't have determination will always fail on because it's too tedious to carry it out. The second part of that is that a careful analysis of looking at what I'm doing to see whether or not that is actually helping me or not. Right? So the ability to say that, okay, I'm doing these things. Are these things actually helping me? Right? And again, if we are following strictly what God says, then even if I may not see a benefit to it, I have to believe in it. I have to absolutely believe in it. So that's number one, right? That I have to have these goals. Number two, the hard work and resolve to stick with my goals, right? And this is honestly, like I keep saying this, but this is where it's very difficult to be a consistent mu'min. Yeah, it's very difficult. What Allah expects from us is not difficult. But to be consistent and try to improve daily, that's where the struggle is, right? That's honestly where the struggle is. And that's what separates us, right, at the end of the day. And so when we accept that hard work is fundamental and required, part of that is a corollary. We can't be complainers and whiners. You know what I mean? Like we can't complain about this stuff. Like we can't whine about this stuff, right? You will never find a person who has absolute determination whining about how difficult the journey was. They won't whine about it, right? They'll just suck it up and do it, right? They'll put their big boy boots on and do it, right? And that's what's expected from us. That's honestly what's expected from us. And in fact, hadith are so clear. Like I said, we'll go into depth into it one day, inshallah. But hadith say like, if don't even hang out with whiners, right? Like literally, like people are like, oh, Fajr, 5, oh, don't even hang out with those people, right? Like those people will pull you down. Don't whine about it, right? Don't whine about it. Do what you have to do. If you know that this is what's expected to reach my goal, put in the work. Put in the work. That's what separates us. And so no whining, yeah? We're really good at that, right? The third is that we are willing to accept criticism from people who don't have the same drive as we do, right? Now again, these are within that framework we talked about, where I don't violate the rights of other people, but if I don't violate the rights of other people, and I am determined to be that type of servant that God wants, then when people whine, ignore it. Honestly, ignore it. When people complain, ignore it. And people will complain. Right? Allah talks about the quality of the believers that He loves. And it's a lengthy verse. You can read it in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54. He says, وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. That these true believers do not care about when people blame them or criticize them. Right? And this will happen. So let's say you have had a friend circle, and your friend circle hangs out late at night. And then you decide, you know what, I want to change. And so I'm not going to hang out late at night because it affects my ability to wake up for Fajr. And so if you tell your friends I'm not going to hang out, what are they going to say? Oh, you're better than us now. Right? Oh, you're breaking the baraza. You know how many times I've heard that? Yeah? You're a Muslim now. Yeah? Now you think you're a Muslim. They say everything to you. Doesn't matter. Let it trickle off you. Don't be afraid of the criticisms of people who are just trying to pull you down to their level because you are trying to go above, right? We're talking about a group of people who are high here, who are very lofty in status. Number four, they're willing to make extreme sacrifices, right? People who have determination are willing to put aside those things which they think that the world tells us are fun. And so you're willing to make these absolute sacrifices, right? And in the journey, I'm okay if I don't get to see something, watch something, hear something, taste something, whatever. Yeah? I'm willing to sacrifice all of this for that greater goal. And the last thing is patience, right? You need absolute patience to have determination. Absolute patience. Because when we have a goal in mind and we're willing to work hard, not let criticisms bother us, there's going to be tremendous obstacles that come in our way. Tremendous obstacles, right? Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, He says, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. You will be tested in your possessions and in yourselves. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذَى. And you will hear, listen with what God says. He says, and you will hear from those who are given scriptures before you and those who associate others with Allah much abuse. People will tell you you're wrong. People will put up hurdles for you. What does Allah say? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. He says, if you are patient to that, and if you are God conscious with that, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. He says, indeed that is what makes up determination.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
In the limelight.
French President Emmanuel Macron traveled to Tel Aviv to express his country's full solidarity with the child killer regime of Israel in the wake of the Zionist regime's atrocious military campaign against the Gaza Strip. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kahan International wrote, as if the visit to occupied Palestine by the three murderous musketeers, Joe Biden of the U.S., Olaf Scholz of Germany, and Rishi Sunak of the U.K., to cheer the genocide in Gaza was not enough. The miscreant Emmanuel Macron of France, posing as the dastardly D'Artagnan, dashed to the illegal Zionist entity to goad the cowardly mass killer Benjamin Netanyahu to massacre without any mercy the defenseless people of the long besieged sliver. The French president, who is a notorious Islamophobe, now wants to show that he is an enemy of the Christians as well, since his unwarranted visit coincided with the Zionist regime's bombing of churches and church-run hospitals in Gaza. All these four thugs, Joe Biden, Olaf Scholz, Rishi Sunak, and Emmanuel Macron, as well as other terroristic leaders of countries that have shamelessly expressed support for the Zionist regime crimes against humanity, are also war criminals, with the blood of the innocent on their hides heads. The Palestinians are struggling against occupation. They have not occupied anybody's land. Those Zionists killed during the heroic Al-Aqsa storm operation were not just occupiers from Europe and other places, but armed thugs with the blood of many an innocent Palestinian on their head. Rest assured, the Palestinians are the ultimate victors. According to the Middle East Eye, Western capitals know exactly how much the Palestinians of Gaza have been provoked, because those same governments have been complicit for decades in supporting the Zionist regime, as it has ethnically cleansed Palestinians from their homeland and imprisoned the remnants of the population in ghettos across their homeland. For the past 16 years, Western backing for the Zionist regime has not wavered, even as the Zionist regime has turned the coastal enclave of Gaza from the world's largest open-air prison into a gruesome torture chamber where Palestinians are experimented on. Their food and power have been rationed, essentials of life denied to them, their access to drinkable water slowly removed, and their hospitals prevented from receiving medical supplies and equipment. The West is no less responsible now as the Zionist regime steps up its barbaric treatment of Gaza. The Zionist regime war minister, Yoav Gallant, decided to deepen the siege on Gaza recently by stopping all food and power, a crime against humanity. He has referred to the enclave's caged Palestinian population, including men, women, and children, as human animals. Dehumanization, as history has proved time and again, is the prelude to ever greater outrages and horrors. Meanwhile, Press TV reported medical authorities in the Gaza Strip say at least 140 Palestinians have lost their lives and more sustained injuries when the Zionist regime aircraft carried out a round of airstrikes recently. The officials stated that the new Israeli regime airstrikes targeted Al-Shati refugee camp in the northern Gaza Strip, as well as the southern cities of Rafah and Khan Yunis, among others. The official Palestinian news agency Wafa reported that the Zionist regime warplanes destroyed a residential building belonging to the Al-Aidi family in Rafah, killing 48 individuals and injuring dozens more. Another house was also reduced to rubble in Tal al-Sultan neighborhood of Rafah, leaving several civilians dead and injured. The Zionist regime warplanes bombed an inhabited house in Beit Lahia, killing and wounding several people. The injured victims were transferred to the Indonesian hospital in the city to receive medical treatment. Moreover, a number of civilians were killed and injured when the Zionist regime aircraft pounded the Al-Fallujah area, located 30 kilometers northeast of Gaza City. The Zionist regime jets also hit a house in the city of Khan Yunis, causing several casualties who were taken to Nasser Hospital in the city. The aircraft bombed another house in the same city as well, killing and wounding several people. An Israeli regime air raid also targeted a house in the Boreji refugee camp in the central Gaza Strip, killing and wounding a number of people, including women and children. This comes as hospitals in Gaza are still being bombed by the Zionist regime, and the healthcare system is at risk of collapse if no medical equipment and supplies are provided. According to Wafa News Agency, the Indonesian hospital in Beit Lahia has been partially without electricity since last night, October 24th, as a result of the exhaustion of fuel needed to operate its electric generators. Doctors in the hospital warned of disastrous consequences in case the generators stop working completely, as hundreds of injured people are receiving treatment there and some are connected to ventilators in order to survive. Meanwhile, French President Emmanuel Macron has traveled to Tel Aviv to express his country's full solidarity with the child killer regime of Israel in the wake of the Zionist regime's atrocious military campaign against the Gaza Strip. He said upon arrival in the 1948 Israeli-occupied territories, "We, France, stand shoulder to shoulder with you, Israel."
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio, we have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Habib. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, welcome to your show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about Quran burning and Quran desecration. Especially it happened in Sweden and Denmark under police protection. This is the funny part, you know, that the so-called Iraqi guy, he burns the Quran and the police over there protects him. And the people who want to criticize this guy, you know, are banned. And who is fanning the flames of Quran burning all across Europe? Brother Habib, let's start with you, brother. Is this really a kind of freedom of thought and speech, you know, to burn the Quran and the police protects you?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I really don't know what their principles are, what their laws are, the regulations are. They claim that the freedom of speech, you could do this, you could do that. Then when it comes to application, you see the contradictory happening and appearing. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not really important to me. But what really is important is about the story precisely about Mumika, I think his name was, something like that. Something like that. Okay. Anyways, he's a Christian.
Yes.
He was a Christian. He also fought in Al-Hajj al-Sha'bi. Mm-hmm. He fought against ISIS. Mm-hmm. Then he left Iraq as a refugee to live in Europe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who know him up close are stating that the main reason or the main
drive... You mean the Iraqi guy?
The main drive behind his, actions is actually to gain a residential permit to live in mm-hmm. in what country was it? In Sweden, right?
Sweden.
That was the reason behind it.
Yes.
And that's really just a shame that a way to gain a residential permit in a country that's not yours is by burning an Islamic book or something sacred. That really is a shame. That really is a that's really low. That's really downgraded.
Salvan Mumika. That's right. Okay.
And so at the end of the day, you know, it's not the first time that anyone has bashed Islam or criticized Islam. Yes. It's not going to be the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is that there is this aggregation or, you know, aggressive attack on Islam.
Yes, everywhere in the world, but with different scenarios.
Why? I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's something that really just shocks you. We don't see it to the Jewish Orthodox. Yes. We don't see it towards the Christian Orthodox.
Yes.
You know, those who are really tightly, you know, believing in the religion. I mean, if the Christians, those open-minded Christians, were to read some verses or whatever they call them in their books
mm-hmm.
about how, for example, women should be.
Okay.
That, you know, that women cannot exit their house
yes.
without the permission of their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
That women should be caged. Women should be this and that. Mm-hmm. We don't see them, you know, criticizing this school of thought. Why? Why only Islam?
Mm-hmm. This is really a major question. Why Islam and why is this happening? And, you know, Sheikh Rouhani, this is being done under the protection of administration, you know. For example, consider that in Islamic Republic of Iran, the administration and the state support burning the Bible. Or, for example, burning, I don't know, the Torah, Old Testament and New Testament. Or any book, for example, of the Hindus or Zoroastrians. What would happen? You know, the police will protect you, and under the police protection, you are going to do that. Well, why do you think the reason is?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, of course, it is a kind of contradiction when it comes to the application of the rules, because they claim they have freedom of expression. If they have freedom of expression, Quran is an expression.
Yes.
So how do you have a freedom of expression? Why don't you let the expression itself to be free?
Mm-hmm.
This is very contradictory. But the point that I want to mention here is that the people, or I don't know, the administrations or governments,
yes.
that they think that by stopping people from reading Quran or by the Quran burning, they can stop Islam, for example. They should know that the story of Islam begins with these kind of actions against Quran. If you go back to the very beginning days of Islam,
mm-hmm.
there were people under the protection of police administration in Mecca.
Yes.
They stopped the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to spread the teachings of the Quran, even then sometimes put something in their ears not to hear, not to listen to the Holy Quran. So of course, Quran and Islam this way improved in the history.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do these kind of actions against Quran, against Islam, be sure that Islam will improve
mm-hmm.
so fast.
Right.
That is why we see that now, at that day, for example, under the protection of the people like Abu Lahab, Abu Sufyan, who were the rulers of Mecca, they did not let the Prophet ﷺ to read the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
They did not let the people to refer to the Holy Quran. But what happened? Look, later, billions of people in the history listen to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu
yes.
Alaihi. Now millions of people in Europe, they listen. Practically
yes.
they are Muslims.
Yes.
And the number of Muslims are growing.
Yes.
It is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's better for you to not to do these kind of actions against Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
We should take lessons from the history.
Yes.
As Muslims very peacefully lived with non-Muslims in their own territories in the whole history of the world. They let the non-Muslims to have their own beliefs, own cultures, own sacred books, own, let's say, temples, all of them. So now, in the future, we will have a peaceful life of Muslims with non-Muslims in Europe. But these kind of actions that you level against Islam will remain in the memory of the history of mankind.
That's all right. And why burning? For example, they do not tear it apart or something like that. Brother Habib, just burn it with the fire?
They try to, you know, degrade the Quran. But at the end of the day, but what they're actually burning is just the book. It's just paper.
Yes.
The truth, the true Islam is not getting burnt
mm-hmm.
by your actions. What you're trying to do?
There was a new hashtag, you know, it will never burn, or it never burns.
It never burns.
That's
right. True. It never burns. You mm-hmm. think that you're burning the Quran, but what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? It's the, you know, the verse the Holy Quran states, they want to turn off the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prolong the life, or will prolong the light.
Okay.
So it's not about, you know, burning down. He tried to degrade the Quran. That's what he tried to do. He tried to belittle the Quran. He tried to belittle the message of Islam or Islam altogether. He even belittled the Islamic figures. I don't know why, but Sayyid al-Khamenei.
Yes.
And why? I don't know. Well, what's your problem with Sayyid al-Khamenei? You're living in Iraq. Why Sayyid al-Khamenei? What did he do to you? Really just shows you that he had that hatred towards the Islam that he was living in or between.
Yes.
Why didn't he put out another Islamic figure? Mm-hmm. Why didn't he put out a Sunni Islamic figure? He was putting out a Shia figure as well.
Yes.
So it was because the habitat that he was living in, the environment that he was living in.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there are people who defended him, and the government did to some extent defend him. And again, if you want this to stop, I said this on the previous episode, that all you have to do as a country, as an Islamic country, right, or at least with some respect towards Islam, is to cut off ties with countries like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Economically.
Very good.
They will return. They themselves will find it. Mm-hmm. Because the way that trade is happening, business is happening, it's a worldwide thing. If you cut off a country from trade, it's the one that's going to lose. It's not you. Especially like if Muslim countries were to come together. Now, that's the problem. Muslim countries are not together, unfortunately. If they come together, then trust me and believe me that the supreme powers that are so-called running the world and ruling the world and are allowed to say, we caution you to do this, we caution you not to do that, will be no longer.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately...
Well, one good practical, as you said, solution to this is cutting ties with the countries that do so. That's all right.
Don't give me a fraction and call it solution. Don't give me a prison and call it a home. Don't give me borders and call it a state.
Never they have been invited to read the Holy Quran. This is a major question, that a person who burns it, has he ever, for example, be triggered by an ayah in the Holy Quran that is against people or human per se? Now he wants to burn it, Sheikh Rouhani. This is a major question.
You know,
is there any ayah, for example, in the Holy Quran that says burn this one, burn that one, who does not believe in the Holy Quran or Islam or something like that? So because it says this, so now I'm going to burn it.
You know, sometimes the misconception or misunderstanding of the text of the Quran or the content, but especially to say the whole content of the Quran might be there, you know. Yes, you might find some ayahs in the whole Quran that encourage Muslims to defend themselves in war and jihad.
Yes.
So this jihad is a kind of defensive war, which is of course legitimate in the whole world. You know, all the nations in the world, they have the right to defend themselves. As, for example, United States attacked Iraq, attacked Afghanistan, attacked many countries. By what? By which principle? By which justification was this defense defending themselves?
And, of course it was not. It was finding chemical weapons.
Of course. So it is under this kind of slogan.
That and no chemical weapons were found after so many years.
So now the question is that jihadi ayat of the Quran is for the defending of Muslims themselves against the others' attacks, against the enemy's attacks. But we should see that whole content of the whole Quran, which encourage all the people to live peacefully to each other, to respect each other, as the Holy Prophet ﷺ in Medina, in Mecca, respected non-Muslims, Jews, Christians, up to the time they did not attack Muslims. Yes. So that's why the point is that by burning Quran, nothing happened in the benefit of you.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the people will refer to the Holy Quran. As you see, the The text of the Quran is being more read by millions of people in the world after the 9/11, after these, let's say, ISIS attacks on Muslims, after all these actions that are leveled against Muslims. But in reality, it shows that the people more and more every day refers to the Holy Quran. That's and right. Read more and more the Quran. And even you see in Europe sometimes, the very popular figures, they converted to Islam because of reading the text of the Quran. So that's why, yeah, this... the way that the Western media portray the Holy Quran, or let's say introduce the Holy Quran, is absolutely wrong and false.
That's right.
This is the responsibility of the young generation of the West to themselves refer to the Holy Quran and see what they find in the Holy Quran.
That's right. There was a beautiful footage of a woman in Stockholm, Cecilia Saav. Do you know her?
The one that tried to...
Yes.
To intervene in the...
To intervene in the burning of the Holy Quran with the, we can't say, the white powder. And the extinguisher over there, you know, and trying to do so. She acted really bravely.
That really gained my respect, you know.
Yes.
But that's just one individual.
Yes.
That's one individual. And again, like...
With all the principles of Islam, she was not in the picture because she was without hijab?
No, she was a Muslim.
She was Muslim?
She wasn't Muslim.
She wasn't a Muslim.
She wasn't Muslim.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing that... How do I say it in the proper way? That what is the fruit or benefit of doing such an action?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, disrespecting another religion.
Yes.
It's not going to change nothing. If one person, you know, disrespects... All right, so another person, a second person, a third person. But then you're going to fall into a borderline where you see that Muslims are there. They respect the Quran and you're coexisting with Muslims. So what's the reason behind you doing such an action? Especially mm-hmm. like, for example, Mumika.
Yes.
Who's now, his head is wanted.
Yes.
You cannot lie about that.
Is he really wanted?
He's wanted by Muslim militants or whatever.
Okay.
He's wanted in Iraq.
Okay.
If he goes to Iraq, he'll be killed.
Okay.
And like how one meme states, Safra Safuri, illa Safra Safuri.
Okay.
Those who know the Iraqi memes understand that.
Okay.
But the woman, what she was doing, leave out, you know, any religious, you know, backgrounds or whatever. It was not only a moral thing to do, but it was also the intellectual thing to do. Hatred, especially in the time that we're living in, is not the best idea.
Yes.
For those living outside, especially those who are coexisting with other religions, ideologies, beliefs, theories, worldwide views. It's very difficult to by itself to coexist.
Yes.
So how about having hatred or having these problems? So I'll perhaps, you know, respect for that woman.
Okay. That's all right. She is the mother of two, and that she is not religious, but she believes in equal value of all people and treat each other with respect, regardless of what religion you belong to, okay? That's right. Thank you very much, Brother Habib and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice explanation regarding, we can say, the concept and the topic of Quran burning, Quran desecration. Why does it happen all around the world? Now, these are the pieces of the puzzles, you know, acting against Muslims, against Palestine, against hijab, against, you know, the Holy Quran in the world. If someone is smart enough, he can find the same and the similar thread between all these true events that is happening around the world. So what is the scenario behind the scene? Nobody knows now. We have to wait and see what will be the end. But for sure, Islam is victorious. Thank you very much, dear guest speakers over here. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parsetoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Gathered here with my family, my neighbors and my friends, standing firm together against oppression, holding hands. It doesn't matter where you're from, or if you're young, old woman or man. We're here for the same reason, we want to take back our land. Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on. And now we're here together, calling you for freedom. Freedom, we know you can hear our call.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to your program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the concept of mankind in the Holy Quran, and we said according to the Holy Quran, man has a changing position in creation. It's possible for mankind to become the best of creation, and it's possible to fall even lower than animals. And according for mankind to become best of angels, better than angels, he has to take up a journey. And the journey that Quran designates has two necessary elements. One of them is faith, the other is a righteous act, al-amal al-salih. And we said that according to the verses of the Holy Quran, there are different consequences and results for a righteous act. One of the results, one of the things, benefits of al-amal al-salih, the righteous act, is the increase of iman, the increase of faith. The relationship between faith and amal al-salih is a mutual relationship. Once one of them is increased, the other is also increased. So the verse reads, "Man kana yuridu al-izzata falillahi al-izzatu jami'a." If a person is looking for izzah, to have respect in the eyes of people, to have value in the eyes of people, there he should search for it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally, people think wealth brings izzah for them, brings respect, or for example, other things. But it brings fame, but it might not necessarily bring izzah. Izzah is different than fame, popularity, or even izzah is different than popularity, because popularity could be short-lived, but izzah is something continuous and forever. So Quran says, if you're searching for Izzah, Izzah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. Kalimu al-tayyib, according to the interpretations, one of the interpretations is the kalimatul iman, the faith, the expression of faith that the person says, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is just one word, but it needs something to boost it. It needs something to increase it. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ يَرْفَعُ. The righteous act actually comes in order to reinforce and consolidate this word. This word is a word, but you need to support it with action. والعمل الصالح يرفعه. The righteous act takes up this word, which is the word of Iman. Another benefit of righteous act, according to the teachings of Holy Quran, is a nice life. الحياه الطيبه. And there are different opinions about what this Hayat al-Tayyibah means according to interpreters. Let's read the verse and we talk about the meaning. مَنْ عَمَلَ صَالَحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنًا. Whoever does righteous act, whether female or male, doesn't make a difference. We talk about this. According to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, male and female doesn't make a difference. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنًا. As long as he has faith. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا. We bring him to life with a nice life. طيب, طيب means pure or nice or good. And وَلَنَجْزِيَهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بَأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So this is, Allah Ta'ala says, this is another life. This is not a life of like ordinary people have. This is some blessing that a person has. And this is a different life that a person has, that some spirituality associated to this person. If a person does that righteous act with the faith, now this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he surely fulfills, that he adds to the life of this person. He makes him live another life. And as I said, we can understand it in different levels. Some people try to say that this is the life of the hereafter. But some interpreters, like Allama Tabatawi, they say, no, even this is possible to happen while he is alive in this dunya, in this world. So he has a certain... there are certain functions that he has that makes him different from others. And you can say this person is alive, this person is dead. They're both walking, eating, talking, but one of them has different functions. Like, for example, they bring light into the lives of other people. They guide other people. And this is the way we can understand Hayat al-Tayyibah. We will have a break and we come back to see some of other benefits and results of the righteous act according to the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for Humanity. We were talking about some of the benefits and results of the righteous act according to the Holy Quran. We said one of them is the increase of the faith. The other was Hayat al-Tayyibah, the nice life that is something additional to the physical and natural life that people have. Another benefit and result of the righteous act is that reality and manifestation of actions that we're going to see. Now, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, what happens on the Day of Judgment or what happens after death is that we are going to encounter our actions. Punishment and reward are nothing but the manifestation and realization of the actions that we had. This is very important. Some people think punishment is something like, for example, different than their action. But according to the verses of the Holy Quran, no, this is only what people have done. And they're going to see that, they're going to encounter that. For example, this verse says, مَنْ كَفَرَ فَعَلَيْهِ كُفْرُهُ. Whoever falls into the trap of infidelity, into the trap of disbelief, this is only against himself. وَمَنْ عَمَلَ صَالِحًا فَلِأَنفُسِهِمْ يَمْهَدُونَ. And those who practice righteous acts, those who carry out righteous acts, they are preparing for themselves, preparing an eternal blissful life. It's not that they're benefiting others. No, the benefit comes back to them in that eternal life that they're going to have. مَنْ عَمَلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَأَ فَعَلَيْهَا. Whoever does righteous acts, it is for himself. وَمَنْ أَسَأَ, and whoever does evil things, this is bad for him. وَمَا رَبَّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. And don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do injustice to others? Like, for example, do anything that is even slightly more than for the action of the person. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. The other verse that says, you're only going to see the punishment. This is something said to the people who are in hellfire. You're only tasting and going through the things that you have done to others. Like, for example, or you have done to yourself. Like, for example, a person who have killed many people, who have created a lot of misery and trouble for other people, pain for a lot of people. On the day of judgment, he's going to test all of those misery, all of those pains throughout. And sometimes the consequences of the actions of people are continuous. It's not just one lifetime, for generations. This, for example, the act of injustice that the person does has consequences for different generations. And on the day of judgment, it's only the consequences of his action that he is going to taste and is going to feel. So this was also another benefit. There are also other results or consequences of the action according to the verses of the Holy Quran. Inshallah, we will continue in the following episode. I hope, inshallah, you join me to follow up this discussion. Thank you very much for listening. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
Palestinian resistance movement Hamas launched Operation Al-Aqsa Flood early on October 7, 2023. Penetrating deep into the territories occupied and colonized by the Israeli regime by carrying out large-scale air, land, and sea strikes. The operation was a reaction to the recurring desecration of Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied Al-Quds, as well as intensified Israeli atrocities against Palestinians. The Israeli apartheid regime has responded with brutal and destructive airstrikes on civilian targets in the Gaza Strip, killing thousands of Palestinian civilians, including women and children in Gaza, and wounding many more. The regime has also intensified the siege of Gaza, leaving the city home to more than 2.3 million Palestinians without water, electricity, and fuel. The people of Africa have come out to strongly condemn Israeli war crimes while expressing solidarity with oppressed Palestinians.
We can no longer stand idle while we watch our brothers and sisters murdered by the Zionist state Israel. Apartheid has been declared a crime against humanity, and apartheid Israel is an apartheid state. We call on the President, His Excellency President Ramaphosa, not to only stand in the United General Assembly and